Well, if you look up on the screen at our first scripture from Proverbs 10 and verse 22, I want you to say it out loud with me. Say, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." The blessing. Does anybody know what we mean when we say use the definitive article? The definite article. What's the definite article? The. That's the definite article. What would an indefinite article be? A. A blessing would be an indefinite. And it refers to many things. All of the blessings of God are good. Amen. When you got born again, that was a blessing. Amen. And that's good. That's a good blessing. When you got filled with the Holy Spirit, that was good. And that's a blessing. When you got healed, that's a blessing. When God prospers you, that's a blessing. When God teaches you from His Word, that's a blessing. But the blessing is the one we're talking about today, and that is all of the blessings of God. All of the things that God does. Every good gift, say that with me. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. What does no variableness mean? He doesn't change. Malachi says, "I am Yahweh God, I change not." God doesn't change. I want you to know He hadn't changed from the beginning. And we've been talking about the blessing. And we've been learning about how it's been around from the beginning. In fact, we started teaching that the blessing was first spoken when man could hear it in the Garden of Eden. And that blessing sounded like this to Adam's newly created ears. "Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Have dominion in it and subdue it." Now, what's happened to mankind? You know, most people live today thinking that we're kind of at the mercy of the elements. Have you ever heard the old song? It was popular when I was growing up. "Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future is not ours to see. Que sera, sera." I think it's French. Maybe it's Spanish. I don't know what it is. But it means, what will be, will be. We don't know. And yet the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one that's called alongside to help us, the one that comes into everybody who receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Every born-again person in the world has the Holy Spirit living on the inside. Said when He comes, He will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance the things that I have said. He will show you things to come. Is the future ours to see? Well, I want to tell you, this Bible still has a lot of future things in it that are going to happen. And the Holy Spirit is still showing people things that are yet to come. Things that will happen. Now, there are churches that all we want to stress is just getting people born again. And I'm for that. Boy, I'm for getting people born again. We need to do that. And the people that stress that are good at it. But I want you to know something. Once you get people born again, you need to teach them what the Word of God said. Say, the Word of God.
The Word of God.
The Word of God. I want you to know something about God's Word. Number one, you never outgrow your need for the Word. Number two, you cannot be successful without it. You know, these Christians, they come along and think, well, you know, I'll listen to the preacher and I'll get all the Word I need. And then they go to church for a while and pretty soon they don't know who to believe because they've heard two or three different preachers. Every preacher doesn't say exactly the same thing. Have you ever noticed that? Some of them have different ways of putting things. But also some, you know, let's just face it. This is the reason there are different denominations. Is because people take different slants on the same Word of God, don't they? People believe different things about it. And so people get confused about it. Well, who should I believe and who should I trust? And what? Well, I'm going to tell you, you don't believe the preacher, you believe God's Word. Amen? And if the preacher preaches the word, then you can believe the preacher. But if the preacher is preaching his ideas or his philosophy, you don't want to listen to him. And that goes for me. If I get off on something, just dismiss it. That's right. You don't want it if it's not from the Word. But I want to say that the only way you can know is to study. Say study. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Some people, all they want to study is what they hear or what they read from somebody else. No, that's not enough. You've got to take the Word of God and open it up. And the Bible promises that the Holy Spirit will teach us. While you read, now listen to me. Listen to me carefully, because a lot of you have never really experienced this yet. You've started to read and it gets boring. Now, who wants to be honest enough with me to tell me that you have been bored when reading the Word of God? Can I see? Yeah. You know, you might as well be honest about it, because it's a fact. You know, there's a lot of places in the Word of God. And for years when I was a kid, I remember, I'm going to read the Bible. And I did pretty good in Genesis. Genesis has got a lot of good stories in it. And Exodus is pretty good for a while. But boy, when you get in Leviticus, hoo-hoo! And I just want you to know there's an order in which people need to get the Word on the inside of them. And sometimes a message from someone will stir you up, and then you go and you begin to study it. Here's a key and a clue for you. Don't read for speed. When you look at this Bible, that's a lot of pages. My Bible has, I'm back in the dictionary now, but it has like 1,540 some pages in it. Maybe 1,550, yeah. That's a lot of pages. So are you this way when you read a book, you want to get through it? Well, I want you to just decide that getting through it's not important, it's living in it and living by it. And so, you know, start reading, you know, and especially if you've had a hard time with the book, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then maybe before you even go on to Acts, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John again. And then maybe before you go on to Acts, go ahead and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John again. And you might especially stop on the book of John. You might read it 3 or 4 times before you go anywhere else. Just read it. And I got to tell you a story, you know, because I was born again when I was 10 years old. I remember being in a full gospel meeting in a school gym. And it was just a special meeting. And during that night, I saw people healed. First time I'd ever seen anything like that. My mom had been around it some. My grandparents had been around it, but I'd never been around it. And my dad was just newly born again. He was just a new Christian. And we went to this meeting, and this evangelist prayed for a man's ears that my mom knew that he had punctured his eardrum. She knew him personally. He was a friend of hers when she was growing up. He was deaf in his ear, and the evangelist prayed for his ear, and he heard out of that ear. I mean, he'd plug up the other ear, and the guy would get way off, and he'd say, "Say this. Say this." I mean, it was amazing. You know, he could hear him from way, way away. And so we knew that he'd been healed. And, of course, I was just young. I was just a kid. And I heard this teaching, you know, and heard the message that night. And at the end of the message, I still remember the words that the evangelist said. He said, "Some of you here tonight need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior." And he said these words. He said, "I can't promise you that if you leave here tonight without Him, that you'll ever have another opportunity." And as I sat there, I still remember, I was 10 years old. Do you remember how you felt when you were 10 years old? I didn't even know if I was supposed to respond to a preacher at that time. All I knew about church at that time was sit still and keep quiet. That's what I knew about church. So I was 10 and he's saying this, and I didn't know if I should go. And so I'm sitting next to Mom. Mom's sitting over here. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hi.
Hi.
I went like this. I went... And she looked over and said, "What? What are you bothering me for? He's praying, you know?" And then she saw my face. And when she saw my face, she knew that I was being moved upon by the Holy Spirit. So I answered that call. And I was born again. And I mean to tell you, 10 years old, it just absolutely... took over in my life and my body. I just was changed. I mean, I felt such a burden lift off of me. And for about 6 months, that stayed. Maybe not that long. I can't recall the exact time, but then slowly I began to just let things creep in. And you know what? I didn't get in the Word of God. I didn't study the Word. I had these desires, you know. They bought me a Bible, but I started in Genesis always. And I don't think I ever made it through Leviticus. Seriously. So by the time I was a teenager, I knew that I'd been born again and no one could ever rob that from me. No one could ever take that from me. And yet, I had no feeling anymore. I had a deadness in my heart. Do any of you know what that's like to just let the love of God that's in you grow cold? And you just, do anybody else know what that's like? See, it's possible to fall away. It's possible to slip out of the things of good things that you loved, you know? And I remember my folks moved into Denver and they would take me to a really good church. In fact, I still think the pastor of that church is just one of the finest men around. And they took me to that church and Sunday after Sunday he would give these altar calls again to come and get born again. And I can't tell you the number of times that I went and answered those calls, but you know, nothing happened. I still was cold when I went out of there and I still felt dead and I still felt like nothing was going on. There wasn't anybody around teaching me. You've got to take the Word of God and hide it in your heart. You've got to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be. You know, this life is not just a life about getting born again. It's a life about living what God says, living His Word, letting His teaching and instruction come into us. And so I went on until I was 23 years old. Colleen was just born. 1967, that's right. In 1967 is when this was. No, Colleen was about 3.5 years old. Now you know how old I was when we had her, right? If you're a quick mathematician, you got it figured out. Anyhow, 1967 was one of the times when prophecy was fulfilled in a big way. If any of you know anything about the prophetic word, you know that God said that Israel would become a nation again after being scattered. That it was going to happen again and that the fig tree was going to bloom once again in Israel. And in 1967, even though in 1948 the United Nations had made a plan that Israel would have a homeland in that part of the world, in 1967 Israel took back land that the Arabs had determined they were not going to have, and they were going to push them off into the sea, and they were mounting a huge attack against Israel, and the Israeli Air Force went out and destroyed all of the Russian MiGs that's what the Arabs were using. They destroyed them while they were still on the tarmac. And they won a tremendous victory and they took over the Temple Mount again. Well, I as a young child had some of the Word in me. Thanks to my parents, they taught me a lot, kept me around church even though I wasn't feeling good after 10 years old and 11 years old and 12 years old and 13. Till the time when I was in high school, you know, I still knew the truth, but I couldn't walk it, I couldn't live it because I just didn't have any feeling and I didn't know the truth about feeling. How many of you know your feelings change? You'll have times when you feel way up and then you'll have times you're going to feel down. But you know what? Stick around a while because they'll change. One of my favorite little passages in the Bible is "It came to pass." Things get real bad for a while, but they pass. You have different seasons come along. Isn't that right? Things pass. Things keep changing. So when you get discouraged, don't stay discouraged. But at that time, I remembered the word that said, when you see the armies compass about Jerusalem, then lift up your head for your redemption draws nigh. And in my mind, that meant, boy, right here and now, Jesus is going to be coming again. And I mean to tell you, this old boy got serious. Do you know what serious is? It got serious. I was working at 6 to 2:30 at that time in the morning. 6 a.m. to 2:30 in the afternoon. I started getting up at 4 o'clock and I started reading the Word of God. And I did just what I told you, Matthew, Mark. In fact, I said to the Lord, "Lord, I don't feel saved. I don't know if you hear me when I pray. But one thing I know, when I was 10 years old, I had an experience with you, and there's never been anything in my life that's been like that one. That was good. And so, Lord, I'm going to pray to you because I know you're real. And I'm going to read your word because at that time, I know that I had fulfillment. So I'm just going to..." And I began to read Matthew, Mark. Now, I was getting up about 4 to do this, see? Luke. "I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I can..." And you know what? Sometime in the book of John, sometime while I'm reading John, all of a sudden, the knowing on the inside of me that God never left me, that God loves me, and that God would never leave me again. And I made a commitment at that time. I'm never going to backslide like that again. And the way to do it, people, is to hide the Word of God in your heart. Amen? This is important. This is important. Because all of the things we talk about that go along with this don't mean anything if you don't get this down and become steadfast in the ways of God. Say steadfast. "The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it." We've talked about this progressive revelation, and last week we learned that in this progressive revelation, it's been going on. How long have you been blessed? Could I have somebody tell me how long you've been blessed? How many of you here are blessed? Well, there's 3. Oh, no, there's 7, 8, 10. You know, the truth is, if you're born again, you are blessed. Right? You are blessed. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich. Now, the key is getting that blessing from the legal realm to the manifest realm. You are legally blessed. How long has the legal part of the blessing been going on? Before the world began. We read last week, in fact, let's read it again. By the way, to be blessed is empowered to have dominion and expand the kingdom of God in the earth. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, all spiritual blessings would equal the blessing. Amen? And that He's blessed us in Christ, in the Anointed One, and in His anointing. And we discussed last week how important it is that this anointing be figured into the blessing. Those that are called of God and anointed of God is where the blessing comes from. Listen, Ephesians 1:4 says, "According as He hath chosen us," or called us, "in Him," when? "Before the foundation of the world." Chris, do you think God knew your name before the foundation of the world? He did, didn't He? He was sitting before the foundation of the world. I can just see in my meditation, I can see God sitting there thinking about Bo today. He knows Bo, He knows you, Scott. He knew you before the world began. Before there was ever anything that we know of, before the foundation of the world, God knew you and called you, and the calling figures the blessing because we're blessed in Him. That's what God's mind's like. I want to ask you this: if He knew you before the foundation of the world, do you suppose that He has some idea what your needs were going to be? You see, you wake up in the morning and you don't know the challenges that day is apt to bring, right? Because there's new ones. There's not only physical challenges, there's mental and emotional challenges that go on during the day. And if that weren't enough, you've got an enemy. Did you know that? There's an enemy. He's called Hasatan, or Satan, the devil. And he wants to make sure you don't prosper. So he's going to fight you. Remember I told you that's one thing I could guarantee you, if you came to the Lord, you were going to have trouble? It's because of the devil. He's going to see to it you have trouble, right? So He chose you before the foundation of the world to be blessed. That's what this is all about. His choosing, His calling is about the blessing. He blessed us from the foundation. It's already done. Say, I am blessed. That's a fact. It's done. It's legally yours. Legally yours. Paul said in Ephesians 3:8, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach unto the Gentiles," that's the nations, "the unsearchable riches of Christ." Now, we talked about this last week, but I want to just take a second for those that weren't here to talk about the unsearchable riches of Christ. What is that? What is the unsearchable riches of Christ? And by the way, what does, you know, we asked it last week, what does Christ mean?
Anointed.
The anointed one. The anointed one. You ask most people in the Christian church what Christ means, it's Jesus' last name, right? No, it's not His last name. It's what He is. He is the Messiah. That's the Greek word for Messiah. Christos. Mashiach means to rub, to smear, to anoint. And Yeshua is the anointed one. So we hear when we talk about Messiah or Christ, we should translate and meditate every time we see it what it means to us, because it talks about the anointed one and His anointing. And we know from 1 John that we have the same anointing if we've been born again. This same anointing, the Bible says, will teach you all things. It's also in King James called unction in one place. Unction, same word, the anointing. The anointing. But the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's what Paul says I'm preaching, is the unsearchable. If something's unsearchable, what is it?
Well hidden.
Well hidden. If it's unsearchable, it's so well hidden that it can't be revealed until whoever hid it chooses to reveal it. That's what we're dealing with here. This has been from the foundation of the world, but it hadn't been revealed until Yeshua came. People did not have revelation of this until after Yeshua came. And they are hidden in Him. These are hidden in Christ, hidden in the Anointed One and His anointing. Verse 9 says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship," or "to make all men see how that they might..." Fellowship means participate in. To participate in. To make everyone see. This is for you today. This blessing has been hidden from the foundation of the world. It's been known to God, but it's been hidden from man until it was revealed in Jesus. And now it says to make men see how they can participate in the mystery of the anointing, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid. Well, that's the same thing as unsearchable, isn't it? They go together. Hid, or beyond searching, in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. When did He do it? Before the foundation of the world. To the intent that, we're in verse 10 now, to the intent, this is His reason that this was all done, to the intent that, read that next word, loud.
Now.
Now. Say now.
Now.
When is now?
Now.
Now it's now, right? It's now. Listen, this is applicable for today. Now. I know it was written a long time ago, but it still now stays now, as long as it's written, right? It's now. That now, listen, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. Where's the church? This is the church, right? No. This is the church. Boy, my fingers don't do that very good anymore. That's the church, see all the people? That's the church. That by the church, listen, are you getting this? Now, unto angels, that's principalities and powers, demons, everyone that this wicked spirit in heavenly places, Satan, that he gets to know. How does he know? By the church. What does he get to know? The manifold wisdom of God. The manifold wisdom of God. Did you know God's wisdom has so many branches on it? Manifold. Right? There's just a whole lot to the wisdom of God. And by the church, by us, say by us. therefore by me. Right? Each one of us is part of us, right? It takes a bunch of me's to be an us, right? Are you a me? I like that little commercial. It's got the little frog. He gets a cold and he says, I've got a me in my throat. It's about the me's, right? We're a bunch of me's. Me's make up us. So, which one of us is not included in this deal? Which me is not included in us? All the me's that are believers are included. So that's us. By the church. Which church? Not just this church, but all the believing ones. All the ones that believe in Yeshua. Might be known by the church to principalities. That means angels get to see this. That means devils get to see this. The manifold wisdom of God. Mighty power sent out in the church. Now, if we're already blessed, how many are already blessed? Are you? If you're not, then you're an unbeliever and you're headed for hell. How many are already blessed? So, the ones that don't raise their hand are telling me today they need to be saved. Is that right? If you didn't raise your hand, I have to believe that you must be saying, I'm not already blessed, I'm not believing one. No, the believing ones. If you're already blessed, where's the manifestation? Are y'all, is it here? Is the blessing in manifestation in your life? Is it completely in manifestation? No. It started. If you got born again, the manifestation started. If you've ever been healed, the manifestation started. If you've ever been prospered in any way, the manifestation started. If you're having understanding and revelation in the Word of God, the manifestation started. But you see, we want more manifestation, don't we? And how did we get it? He already blessed us. You receive it. I want to tell you what to receive. You need to receive the love. God so loved the world that He gave His everlasting Son. He gave His only Son. He gave the blessing. Can you see that Yeshua is the blessing? Can you see that in Him is all the blessing? Everything in Jesus. You all know when I say Yeshua, I'm talking about Jesus, right? It's just His Hebrew name. What it means is Yahweh saves. Right? Yeshua. 1 John 3:21 says, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Look at that scripture for a second and tell me what the reciprocal of that would be, or what the opposite would be. What? Go ahead, tell me. That's right. We have no confidence if we go around feeling condemned. How many could honestly tell me you don't feel condemned sometimes? Why? What makes you feel condemned? And you don't have to get too personal about it. Just give me a general reason why we feel condemned. We're not perfect. That's exactly what I was looking for. We're not perfect. I'm sorry. I know that came as a shock to some of you. Some of you are sitting there with your mouth wide open saying, What? How dare you? No, you know it. We all know. We're not perfect. We're not perfect. And so because we're not perfect, then that means that we don't come up to the mark of Jesus Christ. Do we? No. And so we look at Him, and then we look at us, and you know what happens to pride? Because you know you haven't arrived yet. Now, the reason for that, the thing that separates us, is sin. We know that there's times that we have sin, don't we? We miss the mark. And when we miss the mark, why do we miss it in the first place? Well, it's because of temptation, right? And Once the devil gets us tempted to miss the mark, then what does he do? He's real quick to come up and point it out to you. Whispers right in your ear. He said, man, you call yourself a Christian? The way you just spoke to your husband, the way you, what you just said to your wife, what you just motioned to that other driver? You call yourself a Christian? You let words like that come out of your mouth? See, it's funny, he tries to get you to do it, and then once you do it, he points at it. And so what our heart does, our heart begins to say, I'm a woman, not a man. I've never done anything good. I'm so bad. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Right? We get down in the mully grubs. You ever been there? You ever crawled around and you're acting like an old worm? So our heart convinces us we don't have what? Confidence toward God. Now, let me ask you a question. Why should we not feel that way? What's the reason that we don't have to feel that way, even when we miss it? You got it? Say it out loud. Because what? God doesn't condemn us. Big point. God doesn't condemn us. He doesn't. Why doesn't He condemn you? He loves you. What? Because what? You're in Christ, and He hath laid on Christ the iniquity, the sin of us all. God's not mad at you. Look at your neighbor. Tell him God's not mad at you. Sometimes I get mad at you, but God's not mad at you. Right? God's not mad. God's not angry at you. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of the blood of the Lamb. Because of what He did. Our righteousness is not based upon what we do. Now don't go out of here saying the pastor says I can do anything I want to do. Because I didn't say that. But our righteousness is not based upon what we do. Our righteousness is based upon what Jesus did. Jesus took all of my sins in His own body on the tree that I might live unto righteousness. Pretty easy, isn't it? Now that's exciting. And that's what qualifies you to be blessed. Listen, if you had to be perfect, let's put it this way, if you had to keep all of the Torah perfectly, there would be nobody in the world blessed. The only one blessed would have been Jesus. But Jesus died with my every sin. Every sin that I ever committed or ever will commit, He died with that in His body on the tree. That's what Scripture says. And because He did that, I can live under righteousness. He gave me, an old song used to say, I gave Him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. And that's a fact, isn't it? That's what righteousness is like. It's imputed. You say, how could God do that? Because He loves. He loves. And so therefore, you can sit here today and know because you are born again, because Jesus loves you and gave Himself for you, because the Father God gave His only begotten Son as a sacrifice for sin, you can know that when you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. And you can know that anything that you do can come under the blood of Jesus and be forgiven. The Scripture says it this way, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to know something. When I preach, I don't preach to put people under conviction. Have you ever heard that? Well, we need to preach and get everybody under conviction. So, no. We don't preach to get people under conviction. The only reason you have conviction is when you get into unbelief. If you read the Scripture carefully, you'll find out that conviction is because of unbelief. The Holy Spirit convicts us when we don't believe what God's done for us. It makes us feel miserable, too. It really does. I mean, I know what it is to feel miserable. I could have sung that song, Nobody Knows the Trouble I Seen, at one time. But I don't sing that song anymore. I don't sing those old country western songs anymore either. I sing the happy songs now. I didn't lose my pickup and my dog, and my wife didn't run off with my best friend, and I sure do miss him. That song, you know that one? Don't sing those songs anymore. Why? Because now, see, I know something from the Word of God. The Word of God tells me that I'm righteous in Jesus, in the Beloved. That my works of righteousness never could have accomplished it. What I did to please God, what I do yet today, that are good things. Unless I accomplish them in Christ, they're nothing. If I accomplish them because of the anointing, because I'm in Him, that's good. That's good, because I'm in Him. But I'm not loved more. Listen, I want you to know how much you're loved today. I want you to have a confident heart. Say confident. Are you ready to start getting more confidence in who you are in Christ? See, these are things from the Word. These are not things that I just handpick. These are things that follow clear through. When we talk about the blessing, we're talking about part and parcel of all of salvation. Everything that salvation is included in the blessing. A man by the name of Scofield, some of you carry his Bible around, really had revelation on what the word soteria or sozo means, salvation and saving. He had some revelation. And it was every blessing, deliverance, healing, all of it was rolled in to salvation. And that is in the person of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the one I'm preaching to you today. That's the one I'm talking to you about today, is Jesus, the Jesus. And this is why our heart doesn't need to condemn us. And when our heart doesn't condemn us, if it doesn't condemn us, then we have confidence toward God. Say, I have. Confidence. Toward God. That's what I want you to have. I'm not teaching to get you under conviction. I'm not teaching to get you feeling bad. I'm not teaching so you'll start thinking, oh, I'm a worse worm than I thought I was. Right? I'm trying to make you see that in Him you can rise up above every obstacle. In Him. Everything's in Him. Every good thing. Every good thing. We said that already today. Every good gift, every perfect gift. So as we read that again, Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God. Go to verse 22. And whatsoever, oh, listen to this, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Oh, Pastor, you've just said something good and now you've got us discouraged again. Whatever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments. How many of you keep all of His commandments? Well, this is a way to move toward the blessing. How can I keep all of these commandments? Well, first of all, let me tell you something. The Jews say there are 613 commandments. Did you know that? And I can't argue with them too much. But I want to tell you that a lot of those commandments you couldn't keep unless you happened to be a priest in Israel and offered sacrifices. And how many of you know there's already been one sacrifice offered for all time that never will have to be another sacrifice offered again for sin? You all know that? And that sacrifice is Jesus the Christ. So that's done. You can't do that again. There are also some of those that just don't apply to us in the same way. But let me tell you that there are a bunch that do apply to us. All of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, or the Torah of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, still applies to believers today. So let's read on a little bit. Maybe we can get to this, because the Bible says we have to keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Oh, 23 says, and this, say this, this is His commandment. This is His commandment, that we should believe. How many of you believe here today? Well, that's a big commandment, isn't it? That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and, this is a tough one now, love one another as He has loved us. Love one another as He gave us commandment. How many of you do that? Well, I don't see many hands about loving one another. Do you love one another? Well, look at your neighbor right now. Let's get started. See, part of what loving is just tell them. Say, I love you. Don't say, I love you in the Lord. I mean, that's obvious if you're in the Lord. But you see, it also sounds like a qualification. I love you in the Lord, brother. You're too stinking to love you any other way. But in the Lord, I can love you, right? You're not too easy to love. No, I love you. I love you. Well, that sounds mushy. No, love's not mushy. Love's strong. You don't know how strong love is. Listen, it says, this is His commandment that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. I do. I believe. Say, I believe. And say, I love my brother. I love my sister. As He gave us commandment. Now listen, verse 24 says, and he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abides in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. So let me ask you now, are you confident of His love? How many of you believe He loves you? How many of you believe you're blessed? See, this is it. Once you come to the place of really knowing the love of God, you begin to know that the blessing of God. This is so vital, this is so important that you get this down. Hebrews 3:14 says, for we are made partakers of Christ. Now remember, let's stop and let's translate. Christ means the anointed one and His anointing. So let's read it that way. For we are made partakers of the anointed one, of the anointing, of the promise, and therefore of the blessing. If we hold the beginning of our confidence. Are you confident? Are you confident? Are you confident? Do you have confidence in Him? You know, the confidence, the confidence that I'm talking about is something that makes you bold. Confident. Confident people. Bold like a lion. Could I hear a little roar? Oh, that was a good one. Let's pick it up. Let's roar. Give me a lion roar. I know you can drum, so give me a roar. Come on, Bo, give me a roar. Ah. You say, this is silly. I didn't come to church to feel silly. I'm going to tell you something. You need to feel silly and you need to lay your dignity down. Lay it down at the foot of the cross. Roar like a lion. When you get excited about Jesus, throw your hands in the air. Shout a little bit. I mean to tell you, I've been around rodeos, and I've seen a lot more spirit than I see in most churches. You ever notice that? People just shout it out. They get excited. We need to get excited about God. Are you confident of His love? Are you confident of the blessing? The Bible says in Hebrews 10:35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. People cast it away all the time, their confidence. How do they do it? How do you cast away confidence? Tell me this. I hear people do it every now and then. I hear it a lot.
Themselves down.
Huh?
They put themselves down.
What with?
They cast the negative over themselves.
Say Lashon. Lashon does it. Everybody has a Lashon. At least everybody here does. It's a tongue. It's done with the tongue. Casting away our confidence is done with the tongue. So where you quit having confidence, you start saying, I can't. I don't know. I don't understand. Have you ever heard that old song on, what was it, on Hee Haw? Doom. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep down depression. You remember that song? People would sing that. Now you say, well, nobody really sings that song. Oh, yes, they do. They just use their own words. They write that song. I can't. So a guy told me one time, he says, I'm so poor, if it took a nickel to go around the world, I couldn't get across the street. Now that's bad confession. You know that? People say, I'm so poor I couldn't get out of town. That's not the way we want to talk. I know people that say, if there's any flu comes around, I'm sure to get it. In fact, the old southern way of saying it is, I'll take it. I took the flu. Well, you did. A lot of times with your mouth. You take it because you believe you're going to get it. Some sickness and disease. Wake up with a scratchy throat, and some people have terminal cancer. Then that's where they begin to talk. Somebody gets an unexpected bill. I never can get ahead. It just seems like I can't ever get ahead. Well, you know, it's talking. It's casting away your confidence. The Bible says, don't cast your confidence away. It has a great chance to reward you in recompense. We do it with our tongue. Now, we've been studying, when Bob was here teaching, Faith and Confession. That's a powerful book, but everything we learn has to do with faith and confession. Somebody said, I don't go along with this confession stuff, then you must not be saved. See, because the Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And I can show you in Scripture where every act of faith takes the same mechanical action of confessing with the mouth and believing in the heart. It's all through Scripture. That's the way we receive from God. And so this teaching that we had of faith and confession, this is vital to seeing the manifestation of the blessing in our life. And that's what we're teaching you about today. Here's the way it goes. Here's how a man of God speaks. Psalm 27:3. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. Does that show you a man of confidence? How are you supposed to be? You ever have the phone ring at about 3 a.m.? What do you say? Now, the nice things you say. Most of the time we say, oh no. Oh no. Hello? Right? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, I will not fear evil tidings. For my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Can you say that? Say, I will not fear evil tidings. For my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. This is the way the Scripture says, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I say that about me all the time. Lord, I know you started something in me. I know you got something started, and I know I've been slow sometimes seeing it. But Lord, I believe, I'm confident of this very thing, that because you have begun a good work in me, you will perform it until this day I see Jesus Christ. You believe that? That's a fact. See, because I let the Word of the Messiah, the Word of Christ, dwell in me richly with all wisdom, like it says in Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16 says that that's what you're supposed to do. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what we do. That's what we're doing here this morning, singing songs about the goodness of God. I could sing of His love forever. It's all about you, Lord. Isn't that admonishing and encouraging other people when we do that and we sing it out? I've been to a couple churches where there were a lot of African-American people in it, and I'll tell you what, I kind of miss going where everybody sings out with a loud voice. Just gets to singing, so you know what? Chris doesn't make mistakes, but even if she made some, you couldn't hear her, right? Amen. I miss that kind of stuff, where people just get to admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody and singing with grace in their hearts to the Lord. That's good. That's good. I let the word of Messiah dwell in me richly with all wisdom. See, John 15:7 says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I want you to start doing this. When whatever situation happens in your life, think of what positive word of God you can speak about it. It's a challenge. You can do it. You can do it. I heard a story one time about a man that always had something from the Word, something positive to say no matter what happened in his life. And he was known for this. And one day while he was talking to a group of people, he yawned. And when he yawned, a fly flew right in his mouth. And everybody looked at him and said, okay, fellow, what are you going to say now? He said, that's an easy one. I was a stranger and you took me in. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it will be done unto you. See, my words have to abide in you. That's how you know what to ask, is because the Word of God dwells in you. Somebody said to me one time, well, you know, I can ask pretty tough things. Not if the Word abides in you. I could ask something ungodly. Not if the Word's abiding in you. You see, you get what it's saying here? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Do you get the idea that getting the manifestation and being confident of the manifestation of the blessing has to do with us receiving the love? We need to know we're loved. Have you ever tried to love somebody that wouldn't let you? Have you ever tried to love someone and they just bounce back at you? Well, I want you to know this happens to God all the time, doesn't it? And even believers who say we love Him, you remember Jesus said this, He says, why do you say that you love me and don't do what I say? He said, why do you call me Lord and don't keep my commandments? And what is His commandment? Love. Now, I heard everybody do a kind of a deep sigh. Now, I didn't really hear it, but I just kind of, you know, I kind of heard it in my imagination when we said, oh, the only commandments we got to keep is the commandment of love. Guess what? The commandment of love, the only difference between it and the written commandment, remember the letter killeth, but the spirit makes alive, is the commandment of love is to obey in the spirit. Is it easier? No, it actually takes more. But you know what? We don't do it on our own. We do it because we abide in Him, because He's in us, helping us to love one another. Did you know you couldn't love unless God gave you love to give out? Be impossible. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. The 11th verse says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Boy, there's nothing like making me joyful when I have confidence in God, when I'm walking in that full confidence that His Word's true. Jesus said in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. So you see, it's bigger than just keeping the letter of Torah. It's keeping the spirit of Torah. That's what love's all about. Doing it for love. How many of you know the stories about the Pharisees? They kept the law. They tried to keep it perfectly. They tried to do everything they could. We all know, because the Bible says none are righteous, that and all have sinned, that they didn't keep it perfectly, right? But they tried to. But you know one thing you noticed about them? They didn't love. There was no love in what they did, was there? You remember how Jesus said they'll do good works, they'll go out and give money to the poor, but they do it with a trumpet sounding behind them so everybody can see, look what I'm doing, right? It wasn't love, it was the wrong motivation. That's the motivation we need. We need to receive the love that we might give the love. Amen? It's bigger when we do it by the Spirit. John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Man, that's confidence. Think of that, what He just said there. Think of that saying. Can you say that? Well, it's the Bible. You've got to say it. This is my... No. John 15:14. 5:14. 1 John 5:14. You don't. Well, somebody must have made up a bad program for you. There's only one person did it, so I'll take the blame. This is what it says. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything, anything, say anything, according to His will, He hears us. Wow. How do you find out what His will is? Through the Word of God. And the 15th verse says, and we know, 1 John 5:15, and we know, if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. How much confidence is there in that? A lot. Jesus said in John 16:23, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. That's confidence. John 17:20. Listen to this. Neither pray I for these alone, but I for them that believe on me through their word. You want to know why we're talking about that? Because a lot of people always say, well, that was for the apostles. Don't you know that was just for the Jews? Listen, He said, anybody that believes what they preach, this promise is for you. It's for you. For all the believing ones. Say this with me. Say, I have a confident heart. Yahweh loves me. Now, when we say Yahweh, that's the Lord's name, right? That's what He said. By this shall I be known. It's amazing to me that more people don't call Him Yahweh, but that's what the Bible says in Exodus 19. In Exodus 3 and 4. It says, my name is Yahweh. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. So, say it again. I have a confident heart. Yahweh loves me. Just as much as He loves Jesus. Wow. If you believe that, you've got to get confident. Do you believe that God loves you as much as He loves Jesus? Why does He? I don't know. That's what Chris said, and I have to agree. We don't know. But He's God, and He is love. And God loves us just as much as He loves His only begotten Son. And He even made it so that now, in position, you are in Him. In Him. That's what the covenant did for us. It let us be in Him. And so, that's the way we live now. So God loves you just as much as He loves Yeshua. In John 17:23, He said this, I am them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Does He love you the same? That's what the Scripture says, isn't it? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing. Say this. Say, I am blessed of God. And the blessing comes after me and overtakes me. Do you believe that? The blessing of God looking for you. It's after you. John 17:26, it says that I've declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Listen. That's what Jesus was going for all along, was to get us into unity with Him. And He is the blessing. So if He's the blessing and I'm in Him, you better believe that I can be confident that I am blessed. Amen? Say this, say, I keep His commandments. I walk in love. And I say what my Father says. Do you remember Yeshua said that? He says, I don't say anything but what the Father says. That's what I say. You know, you can be the same way. What?
Actually, He loves us because we're His children.
He loves us what?
Because we're His children.
That's right.
You know, it's just like us as parents.
That's exactly right. And that's what this word hesed up here indicates to us. This great love and mercy and loving kindness of God. It's a covenant love that actually brings in the thought of womb love. You know what womb love is? Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, When I found out I was pregnant, you know, I knew there was a baby there. But all of a sudden, before that baby was even born, that mother had a love for that child that was beyond explaining. You can't explain it. And that's why God loves us. That's good insight. Praise God. That's revelation. Amen. I believe it. God loves us because we're His children. I walk in His love and I say what my Father says. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Romans 5:5. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. So say this with me. Stand up. Let's all stand together. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say, I walk in love.
I walk in
the Spirit of Torah. For those of you that are familiar with Torah, Torah means the teaching and instruction of God. What do you walk in? Not by the letter of the law, but by the Spirit of the law. I walk in the Spirit of Torah. Say, I love. As Yeshua loves.
As Yeshua loves.
Was that what He told us to do? Was that the new commandment? I love as Yeshua loves, and I do what He does. Isn't that what Jesus said I do? What the Father, what I see with my Father, that's what I do. That's the way we can begin to walk in the manifest blessing of God. Somebody said, is this going to happen overnight? Well, do most of the things that you receive happen overnight? No. They happen as you learn to walk and refine your life. Listen, as you refine, that means to like sharpen yourself. As you kind of put an edge on yourself and become sharp with the Word of God. It takes some time. But everybody say finally, I am patient.
I
am long-suffering.
I will wait
on the Lord. I will renew my strength. I will mount up with wings as eagles. I will run and not be weary. I will walk and not faint. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His counsel upon you, His countenance upon you, and give you shalom.